Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm glad that you are prepared now for Sunday night, the end of Succession.
I am, yes, caught up. The funeral episode was a strong one. Okay. It was powerful. People, I'm looking forward to this.
It is 90 minutes. It is a running time of 90 minutes to say goodbye.
That's how long, by the way, I knew the delay was yesterday because we started it during the delay. I'm like, well, we at least got a half hour, then we keep checking in. And I saw when we started that episode, it was, I think that one was 70 minutes. And got done with it. Still nothing. It was crickets as far as the game started. And then shortly after the game started.
So as this show is the best show on television, and everybody's a narcissist, it gets better every single week. Mm-hmm. Like the show did a really good job of you hate all the characters.
Yep. But then you love them again.
But you still watch.
Yep.
And we're trying to think, okay, how are they going to end this? Is it going to be in the category of like Newhart or MASH or, you know, Breaking Bad? Like
Sopranos.
Some very, very popular shows that ended really, really well.
Oh, you're talking about the ones that ended well.
No,
okay.
No, Sopranos did. The only thing I have against Sopranos is it brought back Don't Stop Believin'. And so that song now has been run into the ground.
And then you just cut it off abruptly.
Or will it be, and I don't know, like for that show, for all of us that watch it, does it matter if they land the ending? Because do you want it to be what we just mentioned, or will it have the tone of, you know, like Seinfeld to me was a horrible ending.
I'm with you.
Game of Thrones, for Game of Thrones fans, they didn't like the last episode. Lost, people didn't like the last episode. How I Met Your Mother was terrible.
Yep.
Yes.
I was late to that party, but yeah, I watched it. Finally, when I went through that, I was like, really?
So I wonder if, to me it does, but I wonder if I'm in the majority or minority of does it matter if they nail the ending? Because here's what I'm thinking is...
When you say does it matter, are you talking about how we'll still refer to this television show like, you know, a year or two from now where we're like, yeah, it's great, but the ending sucked, but it's still great, and you might go back and watch some episodes later.
They've done a great job of you have no idea how this is going to end. Mm-hmm. And it adds to this. So did you know that they shot this entire season and all of the characters didn't know that was it?
Uh-uh. They didn't know
that. So they don't know what exactly the ending is, which also leads me to believe that there's going to be a spinoff. But they shot the entire season not knowing that this was it. They maybe thought that it was, but it wasn't definite that when they made it to the final day of shooting, that was it for the entire crew.
I did not know that. I mean, and I'm so late to the Succession party. Like, we had to do a lot of binging to catch up.
I'm later.
That's a
summer we're going to start.
It's good, but that makes it even, that adds another element to what this finale could be then. Because you're right, and I know we kind of hinted at this. There's a lot of loose ends that if they're going to land this thing, I feel like you need 2 hours. Because that's the thing I don't like if they land it, but it's a half-ass attempt. Where it's like, okay, we had to give you closure here, closure there, and you're not spending enough time to have like a little bit of juiciness to all those plot lines. Like I would not like that. I would rather them leaving us a little bit more on the cliff and thinking, okay, whether there's a spinoff or just... See, and that's the thing that The Sopranos did. It left the ending for debate of what did that mean when the screen just goes black.
People still debate it to this day.
The best theory I've ever heard was that the director in a show about whacking people, the director whacked the audience, which I thought if that's true, that's kind of genius. So I would rather them just cover one area, give a little closure, but it's okay to have some other things maybe left a little bit more open.
I do like that they're going to have 90 minutes because there are enough open storylines right now that if it was the regular time period of like 57 minutes or whatever, that they wouldn't be able to get it done. So I'm expecting like a peak ending, but I'm also I also know this enough that there's going to be something that will lead you to there. Oh, there could be a spinoff.
Yeah.
Like, not every show has like complete closure. You never had to worry like, okay, the Mary Tyler Moore, which the family was popular, and I watched the ending, not watching much before.
Yeah.
But the ending looked like really cool, like Breaking Bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Breaking Bad was a good way to end that. Even Cheers, which is celebrating 30 years this week, when Cheers ended...
One of the best finales.
Yes.
Still considered to be one of the best finales.
I actually
ever.
Just saw it again the other day. It was on TV. Yep. I was I got to watch.
People will always probably put that on the Mount Rushmore of TV finales, of the Cheers one. And I think it's justified. It's one of the best ones.
Just don't be Nebraska Athletics and give me a Seinfeld. Okay. Because I love Seinfeld.
That finale.
I had a party that night in my apartment in Lincoln. Yeah. I had like 20 people over. I went and bought like the magazines. I had them out on my coffee table. We had drinks and food. And it was
a like, coffee table about coffee tables?
I wish it was. But that's what I was like. I wanted somebody, if people like were Seinfeld fans, they would get like, hey, you got Seinfeld books on your coffee table.
Yep.
Oh, I was fired up. Everybody was seated. We were watching it. It ended, and I cleared out my apartment. I said, everybody's got to go. I hated the ending. To this day, I hate the ending.
Yeah, yes. It wasn't good.
I'm glad someone else hates it as much as I do. It was an awful way to end one of the greatest television series. Now,
and they built it up for weeks leading up to that.
So years down the road, as the characters talk about the Seinfeld, I guess during the last season, Jerry Seinfeld was offered an enormous amount of money to do another season. And there was the possibility they knew that they were ending like that and that maybe another season would fix the ending.
Well, because remember, when they go to jail, he says, it's just a year. In 1 year, we'll be back. And I remember everybody kind of running with that, like, wait a minute. Is he sort of foreshadowing what could be happening with the series? Like, is this really it? And it never was. Like,
they fooled us the whole time.
Yep. It's interesting that when he says that, because they probably thought maybe there was a chance that they would be back. And it's almost like Jerry, in a way, saying, in a year, we'll be back.
Cleared my entire apartment out. 18 people. Me and then the girlfriend. Like, she was like, oh my God.
You guys just
like,
sat there.
Like, even me?
No,
even you.
I went in my room and I was like, I can't believe. I am so let down by this show that I absolutely love. That is a horrible ending.
Mm-hmm.
And I like made people leave and like, well, come on. It's okay. I'm like, get the hell out. Okay. I don't want to be around people.
Okay. I'll call you this weekend.
But I don't, but I wasn't expecting that terrible ending of Seinfeld.
Yeah. Okay. It was.
I still remember
for a guy like Larry David, who I think is a comical genius, writer, actor, he's sort of, I think, in a league of his own. It felt very lazy. It felt like if we could bring all of the great characters back in one type of setting, and this being like the courtroom, you know, you get Babu, you get the Soup Nuts. I mean, you get some of the great characters that were a big part of that. If you could just bring him back for one episode and you can sort of reminisce and it becomes more flashbacks, to me, that's lazy. For somebody that I have...
Yeah, you do the flashback episode before the finale.
Yeah.
You plan one, okay, that's going to be our...
Yeah.
I got you.
For someone that I had extremely high standard for in Larry David and in that show, and how it took me forever to get into that show, but once I did, I was hooked. There was a lot of investment, I think, for a lot of people in that show for it to end that way.
Seinfeld's finale has to be one of the most divisive episodes of TV ever.
Yeah, I agree.
I actually, there's some people that I've talked to this before. They go, oh, you don't get the show because it actually is a great ending. And I said, you don't get to be in the friend circle.
I feel like I get Seinfeld and I never got the ending.
All right, Jimmy's got an update here in a moment, but here is Monty. Good morning, Monty.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good, Monty. How are you? It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. I want to get you guys' observation of the baseball game last night. I thought Nebraska's pitching was okay. I think our pitching's good enough to go deep. into, I mean, yeah, we got to play Michigan State today. We beat Michigan State. I think we can, you know, we'll play Saturday and make it Sunday. Now, the problem with, I've noticed, is our hitting. I mean, the bats needed to really come alive last night, and it seems like they didn't. And I'm gonna make a comment. I know there's a few of them games that Nebraska would dearly love to have back. If you guys could elaborate on what time Nebraska plays today, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
7 o'clock, Monty. Michigan State tonight, 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So pitching's actually been really good.
Yeah.
For the most part here in Omaha.
And say pitching was okay last night, I would push back and say I thought pitching was great because of a lot of things that we talked about, where a guy doesn't have his stuff, yet he's holding one of the best offensive teams in the league at bay and scattering hits. Like, I thought the pitching, with the exception of one mistake that could happen to some of the best pitchers in college baseball, from Shea, you could not have asked for more from this pitching staff yesterday.
In terms of hitting, team that comes in, I mean, they hit a couple home runs against Rutgers. There's not a lot of, like, great at-bats where mm-hmm. they're squaring up balls. They're taking advantage of hit-by-pitches,
yeah.
a lot of walks.
There's weak contact.
So, but now that has to shift. Because you hope that you still get good outings on the mound, but you're going to have to score some runs.
Yep.
You're going to have to score a plethora of runs. And is that hitting going to return where it's 1-9? I Casey Burnham is going to be an important guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if Bryce getting back into the groove, his back, whatever, you know, finally got a base hit there in the ninth last night, mm-hmm. and then he stole a base, so he's a 20-20 guy, which is very impressive. I mean, don't overlook that. I got kind of lost in the,
yep,
in the loss last night. But some of the guys that are not wearing a Bryce Matthews or Max Anderson or a Swanson or a Fisher jersey, where are those guys going to be in the lineup? Because they're going to need them. They're going to need to score a lot of crooked numbers, I believe, moving forward.
Yeah, you mentioned Burnham, but Dylan Carey, who we know, he sort of comes at you in waves. Cole Evans, all those. Ben Columbus, another guy that I think handles the bat well. Got a nice swing, like where he is on the left side of the plate. But, yeah, this is where I would like to see maybe less, because especially, again, I get it. They had the two home runs against Rutgers, but this is a ballpark where you just don't want to heavily rely on the long ball. This is a ballpark that if you're able to plug some gaps, if you're able to kind of bang balls up the middle, you are, and you're getting a little bit of that more consistently too, where kind of, you always hear the contagious effect. We haven't seen that with this offense yet in Omaha.
Quite simple. Nebraska's put himself into this position. They couldn't win the Summit League. They got off to a slow start against.
That's true, though.
San Diego. You know, they lost the first three, and then they tied that.
Remember that tie?
I mean, 16-16.
It might as well have been a loss.
And San Diego was 117th in the RPI.
Yep.
And then you drop a Sunday game down in Manhattan against Nichols,
right?
Which has a, you know, not a really good RPI. But even if you win the Summit League, you know, you're in a lot better spot where it's not going to take winning on Sunday.
Yeah, this is the midweek mess that Nebraska was, and even sometimes, and we talked about it earlier, kind of a Sunday mess at times.
So there's no one to blame except Nebraska themselves.
Yep.
Put them in a position where last night they didn't get timely hits and some opportunities where they did have some opportunities, and how they played during the regular season, that they're sitting here now scrambling for their life, where they got to win four games by late afternoon on Sunday, and they got to win three of those in the next 30 hours.
Well, and for a moment there, the what ifs, and getting back to Monty as far as where, you know, what happened in Nebraska this year, we talked about the midweek mess to a point that we sort of got past it because we knew the only path for Nebraska was to make it through the Big Ten tournament in Omaha. Think about this for a moment. And again, these are what ifs, and they didn't happen. I understand that. But in games that, if we were handicapping college baseball, which they do, and we've learned that, people do bet on college baseball, just not a lot.
As Cincinnati baseball.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Assistant coach and an ops guy got removed from the dugout in the middle of a game.
Yep. They weren't even wasting time. You've got games that Nebraska would have been favored in if we're talking about some non-conference series or the midweek games, especially against the Summit League. If you win those games, think about if Nebraska comes out on top last night. Because we're talking about a handful of games there. We're talking about five games. Give me five of those games back, plus coming on the right side of last night. There's a good shot that you just need to win one on Saturday. Hell, maybe a win last night, given where Maryland is, puts you in the better side of the bubble when it comes to the NCAA tournament. And, I mean, that's how close this team is. But what's been so frustrating about this team is they've shown you that they at times can be an NCAA tournament team, but it's that inconsistent approach from game to game. And that's why I understand Will's frustration this year compared to last year, because it's a lot more evident with this team that they can compete at a high level. And you saw that even in a losing effort last night compared to where they were a year ago. I think that's the source of frustration for Will and this team this year.
I apologize. Our discussion about series endings, we've poked the bear about with Game of Thrones fans.
I never watched Game of Thrones. I'm one of the rare people who's never seen it. I saw the first couple episodes, and I just never kept going.
I'm not a GOTer.
Okay.
But I know that...
This is rare. We got an entire studio. Three people. Three adult men that did not watch Game of Thrones. This is rare.
Mike says, Game of Thrones, I invested so much time into it. I got into the characters. And then the finale, inexcusable.
I heard that echoed quite a bit.
Yeah, and it heard was that from several friends. And it's like, well, I guess I won't be wanting to binge that.
He said they left so many open-ended storylines because I can't forgive them.
You know what was kind of meh was Mad Men. It wasn't awful, but it wasn't great.
Yeah, considering the buildup. And I like Mad Men. Considering the buildup. But that whole... The whole Mad Men was disjointed from
it was
how much time they took off was it ever going to get a finale because of people wanted more money?
Yeah, weird. Another show that I'm really interested in.
I liked Better Call Saul. That was a decent finale. Mm-hmm.
Chris agrees. Worst ending: Seinfeld, Lost, Game of Thrones. Breaking Bad had a good. Breaking Bad did a good job of wrapping up.
Yep.
I don't think Lost was bad, but I get where people say it was bad.
And maybe that's Maybe that's what I'm looking for on Sunday is. Not necessarily closure, but you used wrapping up. Can you wrap up Succession with the amount of plot lines that remain unanswered right now? That's going to be a challenge.
Well, when Greg takes over, I'll answer your question on Tuesday. All right, here's Jimmy with an update.
High school stuff, more West Side success as they win Class A Boys State Golf, and led by senior Porter Topp. In fact, they finish 1-2-3. That is a good way to cap off the academic year and school
little
year.
Little Gooch was he was up there, right? Little Gooch was he was doing some things.
Hey, that golf facility they have at Westside turning out.
Yeah.
By the way, anybody driving by Phelps Field lately, check out the scoreboard.
Oh yeah.
I believe it is the largest scoreboard in Nebraska now, right there at Phelps Field, the home of the state champions.
That is surprising because they are hurting for money.
Oh, man, I love it. Nebraska baseball, Michigan State.
That's Nick. That's Jimmy.
I know you're an alum.
I'm a proud District 66.
Yeah, you're an alum. Honorary alum. Got your honorary high school diploma from there.
You might be able to. You know what? I think they built the scoreboard at Phelps Field so large that you can see it from Creighton Prep.
Oh, that'll go over well then.
Stir.
Just keep it going. Keep that rivalry hot. Hot and spicy.
Oh. Football season comes pretty quickly. Nebraska baseball, Michigan State tonight at the Chuck at 7 o'clock. Huskers will need to win 4 straight to continue their season beyond this week. Indiana, Michigan play first this afternoon at 2 o'clock. Should be a nice day for everything. Omaha baseball season comes to an end yesterday as they fall to North Dakota State in 12 innings, 7-6. The Mavericks fell behind 5-0 through 5 innings before a furious rally forced extras. The Bison will face South Dakota State this afternoon. Top seed Oral Roberts awaits everybody. Omaha's final record is 21-28. Nebraska's Maddie Harris is heading to the national meet in track and field after finishing second Thursday in the women's javelin at the NCAA Outdoor West Regional. She had a throw of 186 feet, 1 inch, trailed only the 189-foot throw by UTEP's Ariana Morris. Harris, a two-time Big Ten javelin champion, finished second at last year's outdoor championships. Her teammate Rima Odebor also qualified for the national meet. Volleyball, Creighton junior Nora Siss owned the team-high 10 kills to lead USA Volleyball under-21 national team to a 3-0 victory over the Dominican Republic yesterday evening. They won by a straight set score 25-16, 25-19, and 25-14. In the NBA last night, there's no Pepas today. It's my fault because the Celtics blow out the Heat right from the jump, leading by as much as 20 in the first half en route to a 110-97 win. In Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals, four Celtics scored over 20 points, led by Derek White's 24. Marcus Smart scored 23. Tatum and Brown chipped in 21. The Heat are in a little bit of trouble now. They go back to Miami for Game 6, which is essentially Game 7 for them tomorrow night. But, as you heard at the beginning of the show, Jimmy Butler's guaranteeing victory. Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred says a vote on the Oakland Athletics' prospective move to Las Vegas could take place when the owners meet next month in New York. Nevada Governor Joe Lombardo said on Wednesday that legislative leaders and the Athletics have reached a tentative agreement on a $1.5 billion stadium funding plan that would lure the franchise to Las Vegas. A funding bill still must be approved by the legislature. The A's are currently a league worst 10-41, matching the 1932 Boston Red Sox and the 1897 St. Louis Browns for the fourth worst 50-game start in Major League history. Their average home attendance is 8,695, nearly 3,600 fewer fans per game than any of the other team. Also sounds like a Rays box score.
I'm looking at that scoreboard right now.
So the best photographer in town, Brad Williams.
He is great. Brad is awesome.
He has a picture of it. If you have not seen it, and there hasn't been, no soccer, or track, or football, so unless you, go by Westside High School every day, it is enormous. So they already have the big light show in the entrance at Westside. Now the state champs have added the largest scoreboard in the state of Nebraska.
Did you...
Reminds me of home.
Did you help donate?
Now you're stirring.
District 66 guy. Come on. Just curious. How far does that allegiance go? Signing checks?
I'm not going to answer that. Okay. I support. I support.
You're not gonna tell me what level you support him on.
There's another high school here in town that I have a friend that is a coach, and so I support them, and they're not in District 66.
Okay. How does that go over with the folks at Westside, though? That you're spreading your wealth, your generosity.
You realize that in the fall, I got to be neutral here.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
Do they ever have conversations of keeping you off Westside games because you might get too homery?
Well, I didn't even go to Westside.
I know, but
okay.
You,
if you're just joining us,
you fooled me.
Wait.
I mean, I know you bleed Urbandale, but I know you're a Jayhawk. But still, this Westside
man,
thing,
people that are new to the show are confused right now.
They got to consider maybe having an alternate play-by-play guy for Westside games. You might just get a little too homery.
The only negative thing I got was last year's Bellevue West Westside game when. A lady sent a lengthy email about being biased towards Bellevue West. Like, did not like Bellevue West. Did not.
Oh,
she goes, I started to count how many words you guys were saying, and a lot of it had to do with West Side. And I was like, okay.
Who was?
I was very polite. I said, thank you for watching. Mm-hmm. We have a Bellevue West game coming up later, and I wish we had more Bellevue West games. But
sometimes we just don't know in our. Our fandom takes over.
That scoreboard is enormous.
It is big.
Because they had a bad scoreboard before.
Was it the same one they would have had? Like
that is like such a flex.
Did they have a video board before? Like a video board? No. Just a basic score? Okay. So it's probably the same scoreboard that I remember.
Because I'm pretty sure
like
this,
what we had when we were in high school.
Which were actually decent. But,
the one at Buell. Like the one at Elkhorn and the one at Buell, I think are the same.
Okay.
And both have video capability. And even the one at... out of Papio South.
Mm-hmm.
They're all score vision. Every scoreboard in town is like score vision.
Is that the old Daktronics?
No.
Okay, so...
Score vision's Omaha.
Is it, okay, cool.
Daktronics is in lovely Brookings, South Dakota, yeah. And you drive right by it. They're on Interstate 29.
So but they're still going, right?
Daktronics? Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I just didn't know if maybe they got bought out or were under a new...
Everyone's merging?
Yeah, a new name. Maybe they bought somebody out, changed names.
Daktronics is still going strong.
Okay.
But ScoreVision is an Omaha company.
Nice.
So almost all of the scoreboards in the high schools around this area are all ScoreVision.
It's amazing to me going into high school gyms now. Like, we thought it was cool when we had like a bigger scoreboard where you could actually see numbers of the players that were on the floor and the fouls and the points. Now it's like, hey, you got video. I mean, we got video sponsors. It's like, Jesus.
And that's why it's done.
This is pretty sweet.
Oh, no. Look what you've done.
Wait till you see more advertisements on the floor
Oh, really?
Of basketball gyms in the area.
Wow. Are we going to get naming rights on the floor?
Man, you got to make some money somehow.
That's true.
All right, 27 past the hour. When we come back, it is official. O-F-F-I-C-I-A-L. Thank you, Urbandale. Bud Crawford is fighting Errol Spence, July 29th in Vegas. We will discuss the meaning even more so. Will that thing live up to the hype? That's all coming up next. Scott Docterman, top of the hour. Mike Schaefer, Matt Verzal as well. On Mornings with Sharp and Hanley on 1620 The Zone.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.